Good morning, everybody. I welcome you as we prepare to worship here shortly on this second Sunday in the season of Advent. It is always when we gather for praising God and worshiping together here at St. John's, we gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, if you've had a chance to look through your bulletin, you see there's lots of stuff in there. It's the season, so please pay attention to the announcements we have today. And the altar flowers, and of course next week's concert, Christmas concert here at the church, which we are all looking forward to. And we are still looking for cookies for that event. If you're baking some cookies this week, do a few extra so that we can have a nice selection for our show, for the reception following that. Also, please note that the offering envelopes for next year are out here in the entranceway. Feel free to grab those coming or going. And also note, this week is the senior lunch bunch on Thursday, a little different day we've been doing, and a little earlier in the month, but that starts at noon from 1:30. It's going to be a great little fellowship time. Our staff is invited to that, and we hope to have a nice turnout. And I think from what I've seen, the weather's not going to be too bad. So that's on Thursday at noon. Also, we have the information there about Christmas Eve and Christmas Day and our services, and the fact that there will be no service here at Christmas Day, but the Christmas Eve service will be at 7 p.m., and it will be the usual candle lighting service with Holy Communion this year. So please invite your family and friends, let your neighbors know about that. It's always a very, very beautiful and blessed service. So share the good news about our Christmas Eve service if you can as well. Let's begin our time of praising God and worshiping on this second Sunday of Advent.
Thank you. Please stand and let us join together in the call to worship. We believe in a God who knows our fears. We believe in a God who says, "Be not afraid." We believe in a God who kicks off her shoes and wades into the muck of our lives with us. We believe in a God who stitches herself to our heels and invites us to dance. We believe in a God who hems stars into the night sky so that we can find our way home, and who sends us friends with open doors so we can find our way to love.
We believe in a God who finds us in our fear and does not leave us alone.
Thanks be to God for a love like that. Amen.
Enough.
Not making enough of a difference.
Falling down.
That we will forget we belong to one another.
Climate change.
My child having to learn gun violence drills in school.
Spiders.
Not having someone to take care of me. Not having someone who knows my stories.
My mental health slipping.
Ending up alone.
Nightmares.
Stopping short of following God all the way.
Today we're lighting the candle of peace because we so desperately need God's peace in the midst of all we fear.
May this light be a reminder that Christ is coming. God was with generations before. God is with us today. And God will be with us tomorrow. Even now, God is on the way. Amen. our call to confession, fear can be a good thing. It can help us to be attentive while driving down the highway. It can alert us to accidents. It can motivate us to do our best. However, fear can be harmful. For so many of us, fear of the other, fear of failure, or fear of the unknown has led us to make sinful choices in our lives. Choices such as building walls or tearing others down. Today in confession, we ask for mercy and pray for guidance. As we confess, we come before an entirely merciful and loving God who says to us, "Do not be afraid." Let us pray together. Patient God,
you know just how often we make decisions from a place of fear rather than love. You know just how often we allow fear to take the place of logic, fanning unhealthy fires in our lives. You know just how often we tuck your words, "Do not be afraid," on the dusty shelves and in the back of closets, stubbornly holding on to our own point of view. Forgive us for giving fear the microphone. Silence the voices of scarcity, shame, and rejection, which spark and feed so much of our fear, to recenter us in love. With hope we pray. Amen.
Family of faith, even when we forget God's words, God does not forget us. Even when we lose our way, God does not lose us. Even when we fall short or make mistakes, God forgives and holds on to us. We are known, forgiven, and loved. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now, any young ones with us can come on up for a quick little children's chat this morning. Just have a seat right there in the step. I'll be right with you. Well, good morning, ladies. How are you all doing today? I'm going to stand up in front of you, and I have a couple questions for you as we get closer and closer to Christmas. What is your favorite Christmas decoration? The angel on top of the tree. You're going where I was going to go already, okay? What about you guys? Do you have a favorite Christmas decoration, or do you just like them all? You have the Christmas tree downstairs in your living room, and you have a Christmas tree in your room? You know what? So did I when I was a kid. And you know what? The Christmas tree in my room, we had a cat who used to climb up and pull it over. You ever have that happen? Well, we have there's all kinds of Christmas decorations. Can you name some other ones besides angels and trees? What are some other Christmas decorations you see? What? Christmas calendar? Advent calendar, ornaments, all kinds of ornaments, and gingerbread, and wreaths, very good, Christmas wreaths, the nutcrackers, I mean, it's an endless list, isn't it? There's so many different kinds of Christmas decorations. I have here, this is my favorite kind of Christmas decoration. What is that? It's a star, isn't it? And in addition to angels, some people put stars on the top of their tree. You guys ever see a star on a tree? Do you? The big tree downtown in Fountain Square, they have a big star on top of that. Well, what does the star, where does that come from? You remember the story? There's a part of the story where it says the wise men, who we're going to talk about in a couple of weeks, followed a star to get to where Jesus, where the baby Jesus was born. Okay? But I like the star not just because of that, but because what do you see when you go outside at night and you look up at the sky? A whole bunch, especially on a clear night, like this time of year, clear, cold night, lots of stars. You might see the moon sometimes, or some planets, or clouds, or airplanes flying over, but you can always, wherever you go in the world, look up. If it's a clear sky at night, you see the stars. And so that reminds me that Christmas, even though we celebrate it in December, is something we're supposed to carry with us in our heart all year long. So remember that when you go out sometime next April or next July, when you go out at night and you look up and you see the skies, think of the stars and think of how God came to us and continues to come to us all the time and love us, and he shows us that in Jesus, okay? Thank you for your answers today, and I hope that as you're decorating for Christmas, you have lots of fun and that you're on Santa's good list, okay? Let's say a prayer together. Dear God, thank you so much for Christmas decorations and cookies and trees and presents, but most of all, for your love and the love of our families. May our family love at Christmas burn as bright as the stars this year. Thank you, guys. You were great, and great answers today.
Our first scripture lesson this morning is from Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. The royal line of David is like a tree that has been cut down. But just as the new branches sprout from a stump, so a new king will arise from among David's descendants. The Spirit of the Lord will give him wisdom and the knowledge and skill to rule his people. He will know the Lord's will and honor him and find pleasure in obeying him. He will not judge by appearance or hearsay. He will judge the poor fairly and defend the rights of the helpless. At his command, the people will be punished and evil persons will die. He will rule his people with justice and integrity. Wolves and sheep will live together in peace, and leopards will lie down with young goats. Calves and lion cubs will feed together, and little children will take care of them. Cows and bears will eat together, and their calves and cubs will lie down in peace. Lions will eat straw as cattle do. Even a baby will not be harmed if it plays near the poisonous snake. On Zion, God's sacred hill, there will be nothing harmful or evil. The land will be full of knowledge as the Lord, as the seas are full of water. The day is coming when the new king from the royal line of David will be a symbol to the nations. They will gather in his royal city and give him honor. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Now, friends, let us take a moment, as we do each week during our time of worship together, to pray for others and to pray for ourselves. And a couple of folks to lift up this morning, especially the family of Levon Westcott, one of our members who passed away this week and who was laid to rest on Friday. A member here, I'm told, for over 61 years and who lived to the age of 94. Hasn't been able to come to church for at least a decade or so, but still remembered the church fondly. So we pray for her family. If there are no others, let's take a moment, take a nice deep breath. We breathe in God's peace. On this day, we light the candle of peace, and let us pray together in silence. Holy God, as we take these deep breaths, we know that you are here, and remember that where two or three are gathered, you are there. You never leave our sides. Like it says in Scripture, like a protective mother hen or the sun who circles the earth, you carry us with you. So today we pray with tender spirits and ask that you once more would lean in close and hear our prayers for ourselves and for others. That you would buoy and lift up our hearts and send your spirit rushing through us like a mighty wind, the Pentecost of Christmas. For these days, God, there is seemingly much to fear at times. All we can do is turn on news, and it's there. We fear the return of COVID and another variant that could once again shut things down, the rising tide of violence in our culture. We fear global warming and wonder if our grandchildren and great-grandchildren will have enough trees to climb or good air to breathe. We look at our own lives and are afraid that we're not making enough of a difference for our family, for ourselves, for the world. We fear that we might be forgotten at the end of the day. We fear rejection and grief and not being enough. Sometimes God, holy God, the muck of our lives is deep, and at times it feels like we're sinking in it. And so we come today because you are a God who says, do not fear, 365 times in Scripture. You are a God who has inserted yourself into the corners of our lives, who wraps us up in the fullness of our lives, refusing to let us go, refusing to leave us alone. And so in this moment of peace and quiet and prayer, we rest in that, emptying our pockets of fear and giving them to you, trusting that you will hold us tenderly as you always do. You whisper to us, be not afraid. You promise to never leave our side. You call us beloved. May that be enough for us this day and in this growing Advent season. With hope in our hearts, we then pray the words that your Son, who was called the Prince of Peace, and who showed us what that peace looked like, walking amongst the villages of Galilee and the villages of the world today. Your Son Jesus, who said to pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
In this busy season, our most important preparations will happen here in our hearts when we make a way for God to come into our lives, when we prepare the way of the Lord. In the midst of our preparations, we bring gifts to share so that God's love will shine brightly through the ministry of this church and in our own lives as well. Let us gather our offering for God's work.
Thank you.
our dedication prayer. Gracious God, some people give large amounts of money. Some people, like Mary and Joseph, give smaller amounts, but sacrifice equally, if not more. We give you thanks for offerings of all amounts and ask that you bless them equally, that they may do the work of Christ. Amen. Two quick comments before our scripture text. Number one, I've missed singing with the choir this fall because of the things that have been going on in our personal lives, but I didn't miss that, singing that all a cappella. Wow. Whew. And just a quick service note, our closing hymn is number 191. I think it says 195 up here, but it's 191. It came up on Midnight Clear when we get to that part of the service. Our gospel text today comes from the Gospel of Luke, the first chapter beginning with verse 26. We'll be hearing more of Luke's gospel, of course, in the Christmas season, and more from chapter 1. But this story, probably the most familiar part of the Christmas story, what's called, in some places, the Annunciation. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to a town in Galilee named Nazareth. He had a message for a young woman promised in marriage to a man named Joseph, who was a descendant of King David. Her name was Mary. The angel came to her and said, "Peace be with you. The Lord is with you and has greatly blessed you." Mary was deeply troubled by the angel's message, and she wondered what his words meant. The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. God has been gracious to you. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will make him a king, as his ancestor David was, and he will be the king of the descendants of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary said to the angel, "I'm a virgin. How can this be?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and God's power will rest upon you. And for this reason, the Holy Child will be called the Son of God. Remember your relative Elizabeth. It is said that she cannot have children, but she herself is now 6 months pregnant, even though she is very old. For there is nothing that God cannot do." "I am the Lord's servant," said Mary. "May it happen to me as you have said." And the angel left her. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we ponder this old and yet very familiar story, teach us anew through its words and through your wisdom in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, it's right about now each year, in most normal years anyway, that Cheryl and I would be digging out plastic totes, about 50 of them. At least it seems like it's 50, exactly more like 15, but that's enough. I don't know where you store your Christmas decorations. Ours are down in the basement in a back little storage room right past the washer and the dryer. And, you know, when we got married 10 years ago, we both brought Christmas decorations with us, but mine seem to have all disappeared. And mostly now are the ones that Cheryl brought, and ones we've added to our growing stack, okay? And when I'm talking totes, I don't mean the ones like this. I mean some of the ones, you know, they're like 5 foot long or however long they are. And of course, it's my job to drag those out and drag them up the steps and put them on the dining room table or all out the dining room, and she decorates the house. And as her daughter likes to say, and I never forgot this, the first year that we did that and her daughter showed up, "Hey, Santa has vomited all over the house again." I mean, there's not a place, you know, that there's not some kind of Christmas decoration. I don't know if that's going to happen this year. Probably not, at least like it normally does. But there still will be some kind of decorating going on. The totes may not all come out, but I'll be digging through them. We have a little village on the mantle above the fireplace, you know, and a little table by the window that's got an Advent wreath on it, and then little Christmas doves. And over on the little secretary in the corner of the living room, there's these fuzzy Christmas owls. I don't know the purpose of them or the meaning, but they're cute. And then everywhere else, there's reindeer and, you know, all the Christmas decorations, like I was talking with the kids. It's a time, of course, when we spend lots of energy getting ready. And if your house is anything at all like ours, there's decorations and candles and wreaths and ribbons. Look how beautiful the church is. We thank everyone who's helped decorate it again this year. And as we do so, as we decorate, and then we know that in about a couple of weeks, maybe a month, I don't know when your tree goes down. Ours goes down after Epiphany, because, you know, Christmas isn't until December 25th, and it lasts 12 days until January 6th. That's the season of Christmas. We leave ours up until January 6th. Some trees come down like at 12:01 a.m. December 26th, you know. Whatever. But we also know that as much time and effort and energy as we put in to getting ready for and decorating for Christmas, it's more than all that. And that's what brought me to look at our Advent series this year, from generation to generation, because its main focus, I think, its main point is to help us understand that Christmas wasn't just a once upon a time thing, and is meant to be an ongoing, always kind of thing. This series invites us to look at the people, the characters in these stories, and see and wonder what happened to them. When I read this story in Luke, you know, you can read it in a minute or two, but did that interchange between Gabriel and Mary last a minute? I'm thinking it's probably longer, you know? And I think it wasn't quite as short and peaceful, maybe, as it's presented there. Don't be afraid, Mary. God has been gracious to you. You will become pregnant. A what? Please talk about. She probably passed out for a while. What does each character, not only in this part, but in the whole saga, we hear Elizabeth mentioned, and Zechariah, who was her husband. All these characters in the story, from Herod on down, King Herod, the wise man, all of them. What did they contribute? What did they give towards God's love and God's liberation? Or how did they get in the way? How did they thwart God's love and liberation in the world? And what's more, what is the role of each generation as it re-celebrates, as it rehearses, re-celebrates, and remembers this story? What is our generation's task as we look at what's going on around the world today? What do we carry forth, and what will we leave behind? How will we incarnate Christ, the love of God? From generation to generation, we are reminded that our lives, our stories, our own histories, our shared histories, like the history of St. John's, everything is interconnected and it's all woven together. Think of the roots of a tree, a big tree, that you don't see, especially the big oak trees that we have in our neighborhood. They're 100 feet tall, some of them, and I can't get my arms around them. I can only imagine the root system of those trees and how they're interconnected with other root systems. You don't see it, but without that, the tree's not there. How are we all interconnected? How are our lives interconnected? What does it look like? What does it look like to practice belonging to each other? The work of God is always unfolding around us. That's another reason why I like the star as a Christmas symbol, because we all come from star stuff. We are made by the universe. God's work is always unfolding, the universe expanding. And in this Advent season, another chance to ponder, how will we participate in that? How will we carry it forth? When the angel comes to Mary, when Gabriel shows up, she's confused and perplexed, and maybe she did pass out for all I know. I would have. And yet, Gabriel's news, his first words, "Don't be afraid, Mary." "Oh, what?" "Do not be afraid." And as I mentioned, or as I mentioned in one of our prayers already today, 365 times, once for each day of the year maybe, that phrase appears in the scriptures. It's one of the most often repeated epithets in all of scripture. Do not be afraid. God shows up in the midst of our fear and our uncertainty and our doubt. Are there times in your life when you were afraid and God showed up? What were those times? What did it feel like? What happened in those times? From generation to generation, faithful people have said yes, despite the apprehension that comes with fear, despite their doubts, their uncertainty, and sometimes their paralyzing fear. Fear can paralyze you. From generation to generation, our ancestors in faith, including the spiritual ancestors we have right here at St. John's, have accepted the invitation to trust God, to face fear, and have plunged forward into scary situations where wiser people might not have went. When the future was uncertain, trusting that God would show up. Our prophecy today from Isaiah, and really all the prophecies we get, many of them from Isaiah in this season, paint a vision of what we work toward, what we are connected together to work toward when we say yes despite our fear. Righteousness and equity reign together. The wolf lives with the lamb. The calf eats with the bear. No harm shall destroy the earth. A child shall play near a den of snakes and not be bitten. Peace will reign. No one will harm anybody else on God's holy mountain. But here's the thing, of course. It's not that when God shows up that all your problems will be solved. Once in a while, that's the case. And sometimes we call those cases miracles. But most of the time, it's not. Miracles happen, but they are rather rare. At least the kind of miracle that we usually think of when we think of that word. The truth is that lots of miracles are always happening around us every day, and we don't notice or don't see them for what they are, but that's another sermon. But the big kind of miracles, like angels showing up to announce to a virgin teenager that she's going to have a baby that will be called the Son of God, that doesn't happen every day. Those are pretty rare. And the reality is that a lot of the time when God shows up, in most cases, the sickness is not cured. The financial problems don't magically disappear. You don't just win the lottery, you know. The shattered relationships are not all of a sudden just mended and everything is hunky-dory again. As Jesus said later when he grew up, the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. No, instead, in all of this, God is deepening us. God is leaning on us to practice belonging to one another more and more, intertwining our stories more and more. The boat may not sink, and it may not even stop leaking, but we will have the strength to row the boat, especially when we're helping each other and rowing in the same direction. And we are going forward into the waves instead of being swamped by the waves. Another way to put this is God is perfecting our love, especially when we are doing it together. And I'm not sure why, but this one scripture came, well, I am sure why, basically, because this scripture, I think, is one of the most important ones. I don't know why it wasn't used for this part in this series, but it's 1 John chapter 4. And it's probably not totally new to us. I want to share a few verses from 1 John chapter 4. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. Fear has not reached perfection in love. We love because God first loved us. Those who say, I love God and hate a brother or sister are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from Him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. So if you're listening or reading those verses closely, you can catch a couple of subtle nuances, and some of them not so subtle. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. That's pretty straightforward. That's all of us. That's every person who ever lived. That's every person who ever will live. All means all. Every living human being lives in God's love. God's love abides in them. There's no if there. We tended to hear an if. If you love God, God will love abide in you. No. That's not what's being said. Of course, there are lots of unloving things that happen in our world all the time. So let's go to the next verse. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. And what is the day of judgment? I think it's any time we have to face our fears. Any time that you will find yourself in a dark place, not sure what to do and not sure what decision to make about how you will act or who you will trust. And when we face such fears, we then have the chance to perfect our love, to be bold in that love, like John says, because as God is, so are we in the world. So are we called to be. Then comes the capstone of this section, 18 and 19. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. Fear has not reached perfection in love. We love because He first loved us. What this says to me is that God's love is perfect, and He's calling us to perfect our own love by realizing His love is not just perfect, but that we can't escape it. We can't lose it. We can't chase it away. We can't drive it away. We can't even sin it away, as is taught in some churches. You cannot separate yourself from God ever. Oh, sure, you can reject God's love. You can deny it. You can refuse to be perfected in it. And I think that accounts for just about all the evil and all the darkness and all the violence and all the crap we see going on in our world today. It's that simple. So what is our generation's task? What is our role now? How do we contribute to, or perhaps how do we sometimes get in the way of God's purposes and God's justice being incarnate again in the world, being born again, yet again in Advent and Christmas? What will we carry forth? What should we leave behind? I don't know the answers to all those questions, and I guess we can each only answer them for ourselves. Maybe that's what spirituality is all about. But I do know what they look like, what their nature will be. I know what the nature of our answers will appear to us as. And they're pretty well captured by the themes that we celebrate every Advent season. Hope, peace, joy, and love. Especially love that is always being perfected in Christ. Love that God is always at work perfecting in you. So Merry Christmas. Amen. Let's join in our Advent benediction together. As you leave this place, may you go knowing that from generation to generation, we have been claimed and loved.
From generation to generation, God has been by our side. From generation to generation, we are not alone.
The God of yesterday and the God of tomorrow knows you by name, loves you, and calls you forth, saying,
go in the person you are called to be. Love rightly, do justice, and come back soon.
May it be so. Amen.